Well, good morning to all of you. So good to see you this morning. What a joy it is to be here, and all that we do and worship is such a vital part of our Christmas celebration, isn't it? Because this season is about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to bring a message this morning that I've entitled The Christmas Story. The Christmas Story. If you want to turn with me, we're going to be looking at one verse of Scripture and then tying in a lot of other Scriptures today to expound upon this one passage. We're in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. The Christmas Story. Now, the Christmas Story is not just the name of a crazy movie on TV that people watch sometimes at this time of the year. The Christmas Story is not about Santa. The Christmas Story is about a Savior, and His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. And this passage makes that very clear. Matthew chapter 1 and verse number 21. This is the message of the angel. And the angel's message is, "And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." The Christmas story, it's all wrapped up in that one verse of Scripture. There was a church that set up a manger scene in a shopping mall. And some people were just very impressed by that, and it brought a great amount of joy to them in the Christmas season. For others, they didn't understand it because they didn't understand the Christmas scene. One lady was overheard talking to her friend as they walked by the manger scene, and she said, "Won't you look at that? Those Christians are trying to horn in on Christmas." Hey, we're not trying to horn in on Christmas. This is our holiday. This is our celebration as Christians, isn't it? That God would love us enough that He would send His own Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into this world. And yet, Jesus is left out of so many of our Christmas celebrations. Jesus is left out of so many of the Christmas songs. I was looking at a list this past week of some of the most popular songs that are being played as background music in many of the places where we shop to do, where we do our Christmas shopping. And among those songs that are most popular are the Christmas song. You may know that one as Chestnuts Roasting on an Open Fire. You're used to hearing that. White Christmas, Winter Wonderland, Silver Bells, and then there was a tie for fifth place between I'll Be Home for Christmas and Jingle Bells. So these are supposed to be the most popular songs of the Christmas season, and yet Jesus is the one who's left out of those songs. Well, I'm glad this morning here at Starnes Cove Baptist Church, Jesus is not left out of Christmas, is he? Jesus was through and through all the music that we've heard. Jesus is right at the heart and center of our worship celebrations and our Christmas times that we share together. He's going to be at the heart and center of the living nativity that will be carried out here on Wednesday night. And so the Christmas story, it's about Jesus. But it's not just about a cradle. The true Christmas story of the Bible, it starts with a cradle, but it continues with a cross, and it concludes with a crown. All that is a part of the Christmas story. And so this morning, I want us to think about this one passage of Scripture that we've read and think about the true Christmas story. There are three components of this story that I want us to see this morning. First of all, Christmas is the story of man's sin. It is the story of man's sin. This little baby Jesus came into this world, according to verse 21 of our text, to save his people from their sins. So that involves good news But there's some bad news. The good news is Jesus came. But the reason he came is because of the bad news of the fact that we're all sinners. He came to save his people from their sins. Now, Christmas is good news. Luke chapter 2, verse 10, the angels announced the birth of Jesus to the shepherds in the field, and they said, "This day we bring you good tidings of great joy." In other words, we have some good news for you. But to understand just how really good and how really great the Christmas news is, we've got to understand it against the backdrop of the bad news. And the bad news that the Bible gives us about ourselves is that we are sinners. I want you to think about this, man's sin. Number one, man is spiritually depraved. We're spiritually depraved. The greatest prophet of the Old Testament, Isaiah, said it this way, "All we like sheep have gone astray, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." The greatest theologian of the New Testament, the Apostle Paul, said in Romans 3, 22 and 23, he said, "For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The wisest man in the Bible, King Solomon, said in Ecclesiastes 7, 20, he says, "For there is not a just man on earth who does good and does not sin." And so God has done a worldwide search of mankind. And this is what he found in Psalm 14, verses 2 and 3. It says, "The Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek God." And here's his conclusion. "They have all turned aside. They have together become corrupt. There is no one who does good, no, not one." And so the verdict of the Bible is that man is depraved. He's spiritually dead. He's lost in his sin. Have you ever noticed that even among little children, I'm talking about children who are not old enough to even talk yet, on a Christmas Sunday morning, gifts are being opened, and a little child has a toy to play with, and if someone else tries to get that toy, immediately it's pull it back. Immediately it's to hold on to it. It's to be selfish. Now, that little child is not old enough to be accountable for its actions yet, but that is nonetheless an indication of a sinful nature that we're all born with. Who taught that child to be selfish at 2 years of age? No one did. It was just in him to be that way. You have to teach a child to be selfless, but you don't have to teach a child to be selfish. It's just inside of the nature that we have. It is an indication that man is indeed spiritually depraved. But also concerning this bad news, the Bible teaches that man is spiritually destitute. Spiritually destitute. The bad news becomes even worse news when you understand that there is no human remedy for the sickness of sin. Some think that they can use church membership or baptism or any of these kind of things, their own good works, when they think they can use that as a way to save themselves. Oh, how wrong we are. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12 says, "There is a way that seems right unto a man, but at the end thereof are the ways of death." Oh, you may try to clothe yourself in the rags of righteousness. You may try to bathe in the water of ritual. You may try to scrub yourself with the soap of religion, and yet you cannot remove the stain of sin. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 2 and verse 22, the scripture says, the Lord says this, he says, "For though you wash yourself with lye and use much soap, yet your iniquity is marked before me, says the Lord God." And so there's nothing humanly that we can do to save ourselves. Man is spiritually depraved. Man is spiritually destitute. But number three, man is spiritually desperate. We're helpless. We're hopeless in our sin without Christ. You can live 50 to 60 days without food. You can live only 10 or 12 days without water. You can live just a few minutes without air, but you can't live but just a few seconds if you lose hope. And there are a lot of people in our world that have lost hope. You see, man is bound by sin's dominion, and Jesus said, "Most assuredly, I say unto you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin." And then we're vulnerable to death because of sin. Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death. So we are in a desperate kind of situation. Man is spiritually desperate. Without Jesus Christ, we're without hope in this world. And so, though it may seem almost ironic, it's true that if there had been no sin, there would have been no Savior. And if there had been no Savior, there would not be the Christmas that we are celebrating at this time of the year. And so if we're going to tell the Christmas story and tell it with truth and accuracy, we have to understand that the Christmas story is the story of man's sin. That's why there needed to be the birth of Jesus. That's why there was a manger. That's why Jesus came into this world. And it was good news, especially against the backdrop of the bad news that man is a sinner. The story of man's sin. But thank God, Christmas is also now the story of God's Son. The story of God's Son. And that is good news. Christmas is not just about Santa and reindeer and bright lights and tinsel and all of that. Christmas is about the first coming of God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He came into this world, and he made, God the Father made plans to send his Son upon sin entering the human race. If you want to hear the first Christmas sermon, you really have to go back to the book of Genesis and read in the third chapter about how Adam and Eve sinned against God. And in response to that, in Genesis 3, verse 15, the Lord says, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." That's what the Lord said unto the serpent, unto Satan. And that's really the first indication in the Bible that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, would come into this world. And then the first Christmas prophecy, you could call it that, is found in the book of Isaiah. In Isaiah 7 and verse 14, it says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel." And then the first story of Christmas, I guess you could say, could be Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." You see, Christmas is the story about the birth of God's Son. And Jesus, yes, he came to a cradle, but he didn't stay in a cradle, did he? Jesus grew up. Jesus found favor with both God and man. Jesus pleased his heavenly Father. Jesus followed the will of the heavenly Father all the way to the cross, and he died there for our sins. Someone has said that Jesus lived all his life in the shadow of a cross. One artist portrayed that in a painting. It's a painting of Jesus in the carpenter's shop before he began his public ministry. It's late in the day. The sun is setting in the west. And Jesus is tired from his work, and he is standing in the doorway of the carpenter's shop, and he has his arms on both sides of the door, sort of propping up like this. And the sun setting in the west cast a shadow on the ground in the carpenter's shop, and the way Jesus is standing, the shadow forms a cross on the floor of the carpenter's shop. And the artist is trying to say through that painting that Jesus lived his life in the shadow of a cross. He was born in a manger, but his destiny was to go to a cross to die for the sin of the whole world. And that brings us to the third part of the Christmas story. Christmas is the story of man's sin. Christmas is the story of God's Son. But Christmas is also the story of our salvation. It's the story of our salvation. Going back to Matthew 1:21, "You shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." You shall call his name Jesus. The name Jesus literally means salvation. He will save his people from their sins. Christmas tells us three facts about this great gift called salvation. Number one, this gift, it's comprehensive. It's comprehensive. Remember, the angel said to the shepherds, "Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." Jesus was born in Bethlehem, but salvation was not just for Bethlehem, it was for Jerusalem. It was for Jericho. Jesus' salvation that he brought is for us in America. It's for every country and continent around the world. It is to be comprehensive. God sent his Son into the world to save sinners. He will save anybody and everybody who wants to be saved. And if you want to know the heart of God for people, you can find it in 1 Timothy chapter 2. Verses 3 and 4, it says, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." God wants everyone to hear the message and to have the opportunity to be saved. That doesn't mean that everyone's going to respond and come to Christ. I wish it did. But we have this free will by which we decide whether or not to receive Jesus Christ. But one of the greatest Christmas truths is this: if you want to be saved, you can be saved. When you hear the gospel and you understand that Jesus came and died on the cross and gave his life for you as a sacrifice for your sins, and you call on his name, you can be saved. Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." This story of our salvation, it's comprehensive. But secondly, it is also complementary. It's complementary. It's not only salvation that's available to anyone, but it's available to anyone without cost. Now, that doesn't mean there wasn't a price. Oh, there was a price for sure. And Jesus paid that price on the cross so that salvation could be offered to you and me without cost on our part. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. Christmas is a time of giving. And at Christmas, we celebrate the world's greatest giver, Almighty God. And we celebrate the world's greatest gift, the gift of His Son and salvation that we have through Him. Romans 6:23 says, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Salvation is free to us only because an incredible price was paid on Calvary so that we could be saved. You know, it's amazing how much money people will pay to do certain things. For someone who wants to go to the Super Bowl, or go to the NCAA championship, or someone that would want to go to some of the final games in the Olympics when they're held, you could expect to pay $1,000 or more for just one ticket to get into an event like that. But I'm here to tell you today that you can go to heaven and you can get your ticket and it costs you absolutely zero, because of what Jesus did on the cross when He paid the debt for our sin. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved, the Bible says. And then salvation, this story of our salvation, it's comprehensive, it's complementary. But number three, it is also complete. It's complete. Salvation is free, but it's also final. And salvation is forever. God's gift is irrevocable. God will not give you something and then take it back. What God gives you is yours forever. It's eternal life. If it wasn't forever, He wouldn't describe it as eternal life. It would just be 6-month life, or 2-year life, or 5-year life, or whatever that it would be if you could lose it after a while. But God calls it eternal life because it is indeed forever, and salvation is complete. You know, I love the story about an old Scottish physician who was famous because of his medical skills and his devotion to his patients, but he was also a very devoted follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this physician, when he died, the executors of his estate were going through his books, his financial records, and they noticed that for several of the patients, the doctor had written in red ink on the account ledger, forgiven. Too poor to pay. Forgiven. Too poor to pay. This doctor understood that there were people who needed his help. They needed his assistance, but they couldn't pay anything for it. So he just marked it out. He forgave their debt because they were too poor to pay. As these auditors, these executors of the estate were going through those records, the widow of this physician found out about what was happening, and she did not have the generous, compassionate heart that her husband had. And so she determined that she would collect those bills and that all those people would eventually pay. The case went to trial. And there before the judge asked the question of this woman. And the judge asked this widow, the judge said, are these red ink quotations in your late husband's handwriting? And when she said yes, he threw the case out of court, saying, there is not a court in this land who can collect money from the accounts that the doctor has marked forgiven. When I think about the story of Christmas, I think about man who's a sinner, who's unable to pay his sin debt, and God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, who in his own blood wrote the words "forgiven," "too poor to pay," across the account ledger of our sin. And I'm glad today that Jesus Christ is the reason that we celebrate. Oh, we may focus on some other things during the Christmas season, but let everything about this season eventually bring you to the Lord Jesus Christ so that you can see Him and that He will be a part of the Christmas season. The Christmas story, it's all about Jesus. There was a little boy that they had a manger scene set up in his house. One of those small manger scenes that you would do with figurines on a coffee table or a shelf or something like that. And the mother in the family, when she set the manger scene up, she had Jesus there in the middle, but she had the characters kind of out at an angle like this, looking out into the room. But the little boy, he would come in and he would put all the characters, all the figurines in a circle around the manger. And the mother would see that and she would just put it back so that the figurines were looking out into the room. And then the little boy would come along and he would put the figurines in a circle around the manger. And finally one day the mother said, "Son, why do you keep redecorating the manger scene? Why do you keep putting them in a circle?" She said, "Mom, I put them in the circle because I want all of them to be able to see the baby real good." And folks, that's what Christmas is all about. Being able to see Jesus really well. Being able to focus upon Jesus and realize that He is what the Christmas story is all about. And when you realize that, He becomes what your story is all about. And what my story is all about, it's all about Him. And if you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you can get in on the greatest gift that you'll ever receive at Christmas or any other time of the year by coming to Him and receiving Him as your Savior and your Lord. And I pray that you'll do that today if you've not made that decision. Let's bow together in prayer as we prepare for the invitation. Heavenly Father, we are grateful for the Word of God, for the Scripture that continually points us to the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank You for loving us enough that when we were yet sinners, that Christ came and He died for us. We thank You for salvation that has been made available to all of us. During this invitation, help those who need to come to Christ to do so today. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.